so blind. My sin was before me, I was swallowed by pride. But out of the darkness you brought me to your light. You showed me new mercy and opened up my eyes. From the day you saved my soul, soul. The brilliant light is all around, and endless joy is the only.
Got a bunch of people that are going to be surprised when they come walking in to find out the sermon's happening now. So just as they walk in, act like they're a half hour late and give them a glare. It'll be good for them. It really will. So if you walk around with these things in your ears all the time, I mean, you're just, you know, you're plugged in, you got your earbuds in. Or maybe it's not literally you got your earbuds in, but figuratively you're walking around with noise in the background, all those things going on. You miss out on a lot of life. You don't even know what you're missing. I mean, did you know, for example, I didn't know this until recently. Did you know hummingbirds chirp? I mean, if you're out here, we have these feeders out here, we got feeders at home, and every once in a while I'd hear this noise, and I'm kind of looking around, and all of a sudden I'm realizing there's kind of a pattern, I'm catching this pattern going on, I'm like, oh my word, that little bird that looks like a bug actually chirps. You wouldn't notice that if you weren't paying attention. You got to pay attention to catch this stuff. Now, around my family, and you may know this by now, I'm the bird nerd. This is my official designation. Shelly actually got me a t-shirt with the name on it because I'm into watching what goes on with birds all the time, checking them out and what's going on. And some things happened really interesting with hummingbirds this past year. I don't know why this year and not other years. I'm not really sure why, but out of the clear blue, I'm starting to be a lot more attentive to the fact that these birds are everywhere. They're all over the place. It's kind of crazy. You know, for a long time, I would only see them at the feeder. There they were. And then they'd fly away, and I wasn't really noticing that they were around. And then out of the clear blue, this year, I'm starting to see them all the time. I'll be walking down the I&M canal path, and what I used to think was a dragonfly or a big bug, I look closely enough and I go, my goodness, there goes a hummingbird, catching another one, seeing these things along the way. I still can't get them to do this. I want to know how this happens. My observation of these things, in my yard at least, is that they're intensely territorial. I mean, they don't want friends. In fact, I have a couple of them that'll, because now I have three feeders in the yard so that they all learn how to share. So I've got them spread out, and I've got some that will actually sit on the post just waiting for another one to show up. And as soon as he does, I'm not kidding, it's like a chase through the yard. You just see him zipping around and running all over the place. Here's what I love right now. Talking about being attentive, you're not hearing a word I'm saying because your eyes are there, right? You're just checking out this swarming thing going on. It's absolutely crazy. They're fun to watch. They're fun to learn, fun to get to know. I mean, if you stare at them closely enough sitting at a feeder, you'll see their little thread-like tongue come zipping on out, grab its drink, go back on in. This time of year, I'm seeing a whole bunch of them. They're all over the place. And I think what's happening is they're getting all the sweets they can because they're about to make a long trip back to South America, which to me is unimaginable that a bird that size can fly against 25-mile-an-hour winds and somehow still end up where it belongs is absolutely incredible. But you don't notice this stuff if you're not paying attention. You don't notice this stuff if your ears are always plugged in. You don't notice this stuff if you're constantly paying attention to your phone or something else. You've got to actually live life with your eyes open and with your ears open if you want the chance to be able to see what's going around you all the time. Now, for me, I've done some extra learning on this. I love this guy. His name is Stan Tequila. And he's written a book called Illinois Birds. He has another one where he's actually got CDs and you can listen to the different sounds that birds make and get an idea of that so that when you're going through life, you're walking along and you hear something, you go, I recognize that chirp. I hear that. I understand that because we've taken some time to learn what's going on around us. Here's the bottom line. Okay, we're not going to talk about birds all morning long. Don't worry about that. But in order to learn anything about life, you've got to be attentive. You've got to be attentive. You've got to be paying attention. If you want to learn about God, you've got to be attentive. If you want to learn about the other people in your life, you've got to be attentive. You got to take the earbuds off. You got to get your eyes up out of the phone or whatever device you're looking at, and you got to pay attention to what's going on around you. So what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks is cultivating an attentive spirit. Because you see, just like this business of learning the patterns of birds around us, learning about a particular topic that you're interested in so that you can discover patterns, we can actually cultivate the ability to be attentive to the presence of God in our lives, to be attentive to the presence of other people, to be attentive even to strange voices in our life that we should be saying, why in the world would I want to listen to that? Now, when you think about attentiveness, I wonder, and I'm not going to have you turn and talk to a friend on this. I'd just like you to think about it for a moment. Which senses foster attentiveness? Which are the senses that God has given you that really foster attentiveness in your life? Certainly, you'd have to look at hearing. I mean, if you're going to be attentive, you got to have your ears open. You got to hear what's going on around you. That's absolutely important. If you're going to be attentive, you got to use your eyes. In relationships, to be attentive, it's one thing to look at a person. It's another thing to look at them and notice that's a little bit of a tear forming in the corner of their eye. And then not just say, well, that's the person I know. But to notice that there's some emotion being expressed in the moment through what's happening in their eyes. So God's given us ears to hear and eyes to see. You keep going through the other senses. You can actually use touch in order to be attentive. If you have the ability to pick that thing up, handle it, turn it over, look at it, get an idea of how it's made, touch is used. Smell is certainly something to which we can be very attentive. I have a pretty dull smeller. I don't catch smells. Kim smells everything. She walks into the house. There's a gas smell. I'm like, let's let it match and find out if it's real. I don't know. I can't smell it the way she does. She just catches these things all the time. Maybe for you, you're very attentive to, you walk in a room and you go, something's burning. You've got that going all the time. And then of course there's taste. Just to be able to taste something and be attentive to how it tastes and what it's all about. I mean, all of our senses, all the senses that God has placed within us are important in order to pay attention. Having said that, God has given you a sense as a believer in Jesus Christ that other people don't have. God has placed His Holy Spirit in you, and while I won't call Him a sixth sense, He is a spiritual sense. He has a spiritual sense in you that gives you the ability to see beyond what would normally be seen, to hear what would normally be heard. You have an ability as a believer in Jesus Christ that other people do not have. I'm reminded after Jesus died, He's coming back and making these appearances to different disciples. And one of His appearances was with two men who were walking down the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears with them and they start into conversation. And it's funny because on one hand, these guys were very attentive. They knew there was a stranger there. They knew that they were talking to somebody they hadn't met before. They were even attentive to the conversation. They heard what the man was asking. They were incredibly inattentive to who it was. Somehow, they were not able to recognize visibly, this is Jesus. Somehow, they were not to hear in His voice, this is the man who we've been following. And so they're walking along the road and Jesus is asking them questions and they're just kind of stunned. Where have you been? How have you missed out on what's been going on in Jerusalem the last couple of days? How have you missed all of this? And so they're having this conversation. They're talking it out. They go back to where they're staying and Jesus breaks bread with them. And it tells us that in the moment that He broke bread with them, it's as if their spiritual eyes were open. Their spiritual hearing was open. And all of a sudden they realized it's Christ. It's Jesus. He's alive. And then after Jesus is gone, these two disciples make this observation, beautiful observation. They say, did our hearts not burn within us when He spoke? As they were walking down the road, they had a sense, even though they could see this man and they weren't sure who he was, and they could hear this man and they weren't sure who he was, there was something going on in here. Their hearts burned inside. As they listen to the words of Jesus, God has given you through the Holy Spirit the ability to be attentive beyond your simple five senses, to be able to pay attention to the presence and working of God in your life, to be able to pay attention to other people at a level that other people miss. And God wants us to cultivate that spirit of attentiveness. Now, I want to just look at one sense that God has given us today. Just one. And that's the sense of being able to hear. You look at these different verses about hearing when it comes to the Bible and how God wants us to grow in attentiveness. Proverbs 20 tells us that God, it says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. He's not just talking about physical eyes and physical ears. He's saying God has given us the ability to be spiritually attentive, to hear and to see in a way that other people cannot. Isaiah 50 verse 5 says, the sovereign Lord has opened my eyes. He wasn't just talking about opening eyelids. He was saying God has given me the ability to see in a way that I could not see before. It's David who says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. You've given me the ability to hear something that I was not able to hear before. You come over to the New Testament and Jesus repeatedly says something like this, whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, obviously, everybody had ears. Everybody there had ears. And there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, I want you all to hear this. But he's also saying, for those of you that are spiritually attuned, for those of you that are able to listen at a spiritual level, listen to what I'm saying. I love that at the Transfiguration, that voice from heaven comes once again and says, this is my son whom I love. But how does he end? Listen to him. Hear what he has to say. Listen to the words coming from the voice of God through Jesus. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. He gives us the ability spiritually to hear God himself. So why should we develop attentiveness? Why is this important? Why does it matter? And I could give you a lot of reasons. You know, I could say, well, being attentive will help you in your relationships. Being attentive will maybe get you, keep you from getting hit by a truck. I mean, there are lots of reasons, physical reasons to be attentive. But let me give you a spiritual reason to be attentive. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And God is attentive to you. God is attentive to me. And we're to reflect the nature and character of God. You may not believe this right now. God is paying attention to every detail of your life. God knows everything that's happening with you right now. There's a psalm that we're going to have on the screen during communion. I think it's actually Psalm 61, not Psalm 6. But it says, hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my prayer. There was this recognition on the part of the psalmist that God hears our prayers. God's attentive to the words that are coming out of our mouths. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says that we're to cast all our cares, all our anxiety on God. Why? Because he cares for you. He's attentive to your needs. He's not ignoring you. He's attentive to what's going on. You go back to the Old Testament. Nahum 1, 7 says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. So one of the main motivations, one of the main reasons that we would want to grow in the ability to be attentive is because it's a beautiful reflection of God himself. And we're to be people who are growing more and more every day to be like Jesus. So this is one area that we can be far more attentive, far more like God, to cultivate a spirit of attentiveness. As we work through this, there are four areas that we're going to look at attentiveness. Being attentive to God. Just paying attention to the fact throughout the day that he is there. Looking for the markers of God in your daily life. Attentive to others, to your family, coworkers, the people around you. Paying attention to the people that are present in your life. Attentive to ourselves. Believe it or not, God gives you some signs of what's going on in your life. And if you would pay attention to them, if you would hear them, you'd be in much better shape all the way around. And then finally, we're going to talk about attentiveness to strange voices. That we need to be able to have a spirit of discernment that is able to listen and say, is that the voice of God? Is that a voice I should be listening to? Or is that another voice, a strange voice? Something interesting going on in our times. We are more well-informed than any generation that's ever existed. And we fall for every piece of information we read. It's amazing how many contradictory pieces of information we can hold in our hands and say, I believe these. And if we were to actually look at them, we'd say, my goodness, the two things I believe are the exact opposite. How can that be? How can that be true? And so we're going to talk about an attentiveness to strange voices as well. So we're going to begin this morning by cultivating some attentiveness. We're going to take a little bit of extra time to sing and hear words that are prayed back to God. And as you're attentive to that, as you're attentive to the songs, I want you to be attentive beyond the song. I want you to be paying attention to the fact that as you're singing these songs, you're not singing toward a group of people on a stage. You're singing to an audience of one. Imagine yourself in the presence of God. Imagine God beholding you as you take the moment to lift up praise to him. So we're going to be attentive to God as we sing. We're going to be attentive in communion and take some time for some extra scripture readings that we're just going to listen to what God has to say to us, hear his voice, and follow his direction. So be very, very attentive this morning. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to what's happening in your heart. Pay attention to the fact that today you may have that moment where you say, did my heart not burn within me as I actually experienced the presence of God? Pray with me. Oh, Father God in heaven, as we experience a morning today that's a little different than usual, changing up the order, adding some extra pieces, dimming the room. Heighten our senses. Heighten our physical senses, but God, heighten our spiritual senses as well. Make us incredibly aware of you with us. You promised to be with us to the very end of the age. And so, Lord, right now, make us very aware of you with us. Give us the ability right now to see ourselves standing before you, singing to you, worshiping you, loving you, and help us to enjoy the fact that as we're loving you, you're loving us. I pray that we'd have that privilege and that experience today of being able to behold you beholding us and to see you loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand as we sing together?
We wait for you. Here's my heart, Lord.
my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Sing, here's my life. Here's my life, Lord. Here's my
seated. Wonder if you were conscious, aware of that idea of just holding your heart in your hand before God. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I need you to speak truth to me. And then I wonder how you responded to that. Do you want God to speak truth to you? Do you want him to break the hard news? That's hard sometimes to hear hard news from God. But honestly, sometimes I think some of us struggle with good news from God. We struggle with hearing God tell us, I love you. I really love you. I made you. You are mine. We're going to be participating in communion in a moment. A tray will come to you, bread on the sides, juice on the sides and bread in the middle. And again, as we're taking the time for awareness this morning, I want you to be aware even to the taste of communion. I don't know if you eat matzah crackers at home, but I find that generally this is about the only time I want to eat them. Not exactly the most flavorful thing, even with peanut butter on it. And why? Why that flavor? Why that cracker? Why that? Well, because it's unleavened to represent to us the sinless body of Jesus Christ. So when you eat that strange taste today, be reminded that it's not just a strange taste. It's a reminder of the sinless perfection of our Savior. And then as you take that juice and put it in your mouth, it mixes with that strange-tasting cracker to give a real taste of sweetness, reminding us of the sweetness of our salvation, the sweetness of Jesus' love for you and love for me. As we partake in communion today, we're going to be listening to a song and looking at the words on the screen of Psalm 61 that talks about, hear my cry, listen to my prayer. God is attentive to you. He's attentive to me. Do we realize that? Do we appreciate that? And if God is attentive to us, should we not be willing to be attentive to each other? So just before communion right now, sit in silence for a moment. Think about God paying attention to you. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your presence and to take refuge in the shadow of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will sing. I will ever sing in praise of your name. And I'll fulfill my vows day after day. Hear my cry, O God.
With me. God, I pray as we begin to go through a series on attentiveness that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to whatever it is that you want us to see, whatever it is you want us to hear, that we wouldn't be so caught up rushing throughout our day, glued to our phones, that we wouldn't take time to listen to you and to look for you. God, it's in your name. Amen. Our servers are going to come receive the morning offering, and as they do, we've got a couple announcements for you. One is that we are in an exciting time of journey groups. We had over 110 people officially register for groups. That's awesome. That's really cool, because I know that there are people who are going to groups who didn't register. So we've got more than 110 people involved in journey groups this fall, which is just really exciting. Now, if you were slow to get on this train and you still want to join a journey group, it's not too late. We just passed week one, and we still have that opportunity available to you. So if you want, contact one of the leaders, or you can go on and you can still register online on the church website through the Journey Groups tab. We have the Rethink Christmas Job Fair scheduled for October 4th. And again, the Rethink Christmas project is where we're going to be spending some time focusing on individuals in the community, making small specific gifts for people like firemen, just the people who are involved in our community. Again, just working to honor them and bless them for all the hard work that they do. So if you want to learn a little bit more about that, you can, and we're going to have that on October 4th. And lastly, this Friday, we have an AA group that meets here on Fridays. And the last Friday of every month, they have an open meeting. So it's for people who, if you want to know a little bit more about what that group is or what's going on with that, you can feel free to attend. It's open to the public. And that's from 9:30 to 10:30 here on Friday afternoon. So with that, we're going to turn it back over to worship.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken heart and let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. sinner be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame.
You are mine. Nice job singing today. Didn't sound too shabby. Pretty great. I hope that you're just overwhelmed by being attentive this week and overwhelmed by all the little things. Pay attention to the hummingbirds and things like that, okay? Have a great week.